Fourth and final hour, Darren, Donick, and Chase. If you're looking for something to do tonight from 7 until 8 o'clock, head out to Cool Springs. Smashville Live. Crazy Legs. Craig Smith. One of three of Goodfellas line.
Mm. The Goodfellas.
And Austin Watson. And Chase McCabe and Hal Gill.
Yeah, we're there too.
Chaser and Skillsy.
It'll be a good time. Come out and see
Smitty and Waddy. Smitty, Waddy, Chaser, Skillsy. Smashville Live, 7 to 8. Cool Springs Brew House South. That's 1855 Galleria Boulevard from 7 until 8. Get out there early. Limited number of autographs and pictures. And Smashville Live tonight is brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, Yeehaw Brewing Company, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Red Spirits and Wine.
All right, well, Chris Mason is unfortunately not going to be able to join us today. He's at Fort Campbell doing stuff for the Pred, so just found that out. So he's doing that.
Okay. Evidently, he was driven by Freeland Chevrolet out to Fort Campbell today. So, okay. Well, let's talk about this team like we're talking to C. Mace. By the way,
we can talk to his partner. We can interview Willie.
I wanted to ask him of our discussion if he was the one behind Crazy Legs so we could get confirmation if he was the one who first threw out Crazy Legs when referring to Craig Smith. But that won't happen today.
No, we'll find out.
You know what? We can do it at this time tomorrow. No, wait a minute. No, it'll be in the air.
And we have Elliot Friedman.
And we have Elliot Freeman.
Look, this is definitely the week we want to talk to Elliot. I mean,
yeah.
A few days before the deadline.
Are you guys surprised at how active it's already been? Just think about what had already happened before David Poile sat down with us yesterday, and then what happened afterwards.
And are you really going to call that active, though? Because there have been years where it's been really active. I mean, now it's picking up, sure. But
well, let's just say a defenseman seemed to be the hot commodity.
Yeah, well.
There was a run on defensemen yesterday. No,
not serious run on defensemen.
With Marco Scandella ends up to the Blues. Brendan Dillon to the Capitals.
I like that
DeMello
move.
To the Jets. So three defensemen moved a little less than a week before the trade deadline.
D, you said yesterday you'd stand pat.
Mm-hmm.
You sticking to that? Still feel that way today?
Mm-hmm. I know why you're asking, because obviously, you know, we did that pregame.
Yeah, and I'm not
before
asking
the game,
it.
So did it change after the game? And I understand that.
Look, I'm not getting too high or too low with anything right now.
Yeah. I mean,
that three games felt good. You liked it, but you know, it was still you got to keep doing it, and they didn't do it last night. So, I'm not letting that make my decision on whether I make a trade or not.
I go back to you said. Yesterday, your word, serviceable defenseman, Willie. And
no,
that's
how I label Dylan DeMello. To me, the Predators don't need a serviceable defenseman. This is what the discussion we had. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be a star defenseman because that's going to be too rich, too expensive. But is there that guy that is an upgrade over some of the guys? You have two, let's presume that you get Ryan Ellis back. Sometime here soon, without putting a day on.
Okay, because that I'm glad you're bringing that up because that is a big part of it. If we find out, if we were to find out,
setback
and he's probably out another 4 weeks, like that changes things.
Yes, that changes things.
Or maybe people are going, is he even coming back this year? Like that's a different discussion.
That is a great discussion, and you know,
but there's no
you can evaluate that for 4 or 5 more days before you get a call.
There's no hint of that. We don't have that in the cards right now.
Like the Blues were able to make the deal for Scandella because they knew Bo Meester's not coming back. That's what you're saying.
Well, Vancouver, Brock Besser,
prime example,
which is probably why they overpaid a little bit for Toffoli. I mean, that was a pretty steep haul.
You kind of had to do what you had to do.
And what's interesting is, so let's think about some teams that have had success to this point. Okay, the Bolts have done something. They're on the biggest heater in the league. The Blues have done something. They've been at the top for the bulk of the season.
And won last night.
Right, and they won. By the way, there's rumors out there that Vegas may get Martinez.
Yep.
Capitals, Leafs. Okay. So with that being said, what about the Bruins? You think they're going to just stand pat? No. Colorado, you think they're just going to stand pat? No, probably not. So what's interesting is these moves probably force now other GMs, because their fan base and the media is going, what are you doing, man? What, everybody's met the so-and-so made a trade. They just got better. Right? That's the nature of the beast. That's how it works. And then they feel heightened pressure of, I got to do something. I got to satisfy. We got to do something. We're right in the thick of everything. We may be the team to beat, or we've got just as good of a chance as anybody else. And so we have to make something. We have to do something. So that's what's interesting, too, because when that's going on, typically it's driving up the price, right? Because you're getting a little bit more of a desperate GM to say, I got to make a move.
Well, let's.
I got to do something.
Let's take the one that happened after we had this discussion yesterday. Marco Scandella traded by Montreal to St. Louis. St. Louis has the issue with Bouwmeester. They get a guy who's a veteran. It costs them a second rounder and a conditional fourth rounder. And is Marco Scandella better than the likes of Dan Hamhuis and or Yannick Weber, Matt Irwin? Probably, yeah. And then, or the other way you look at it is, would you play Scandella in a playoff series before you played, say, Jared Tenorti? You know, these are, does he fit in your top six somewhere? And in best case, could he end up being a number four? I think those are the questions you're asking.
Well, and Doug Armstrong even said it yesterday at the press conference that 10 days ago he wouldn't have made this move. Obviously, Jay Bouwmeester changed things. So
right.
That goes back to the original discussion of if we find out, okay, Ryan Ellis is going to be out longer than anticipated, then that probably changes David Poyle's way of thinking. But there's no way to know that.
That's a really good question if that's the case. And, boy, I hope they don't have to make that decision. Because then I don't know if that guy's out.
Well, yeah, but you need to know that. I mean, you don't want to have that get out a week from now. And it's like, oh.
But you can't know that. Like, it's like you said with the broken arm reference.
True.
You can look at the x-ray every day. Every day you don't know how Ryan Ellis is going to feel after the workout, after the protocol that he goes through. So today – he could be saying, I'm ready, man. Let's go. And then tomorrow, he could say, well, I don't feel right. I don't feel right. Mm-hmm. You just don't know what's around the corner there. That makes it extremely difficult. So I try to look at it as, even if you have Ryan Ellis, would you think about making a deal like that? Now, you have four guys that might fit that category, depending on what your scouts tell you. Scandella, Dylan, DeMello. The one guy that's still out there is Alec Martinez, but he's under contract through next year, and he's got a decent sized contract. He's won a couple Stanley Cups. He's pretty good. That's a good question.
Is somebody like
there,
a
is, how well who else is out there that even fits that profile? And then what's the price on that?
Somebody
guy?
Like a Trevor Daley fit that.
Trevor Daley.
I'm not a huge fan of his, but
well, he's been around forever.
I was literally my first words were, "How old is Trevor Daley?"
He is 36.
36.
So I would have said 46 before I said 36.
Because I remember when he was with Dallas in some of the like Eric Nystrom days when Nystrom was with the Preds.
Minnesota?
Yeah, but no, he played for Dallas too.
Dallas.
Oh, in that, yeah. I know what you're talking about now.
When he was with the North Stars?
Yeah.
Was he with the North Stars?
No, he was not with the North Stars.
He was not with the North Stars?
No, he was with the Dallas Stars.
He was most recently on, a championship team in Pittsburgh. He was on the Penguins that beat the
Preds. Now he's in Detroit.
And probably miserable.
My first thought is I would not give up
all the people out there listening. I know, because I see it all the time. We all see it. You get mad, a play here or a game here, and you get mad at Dan Hamhuis. So you get mad at
Yannick Weber.
You get mad at Matt Irwin. Whatever. We know the usual suspects you tend to take it out on. It's a you always think it's better. You always think it's better, right? Like, whoever comes in, it's got to be better. And I caution you, it's not always better.
Not always better.
Okay? It's not.
So
I know you think it's got to be better because this guy drives me crazy. It's got, whoever it is, it's got to be better. It's not always better. In fact, most of the time, it's not better. So just keep that in mind.
Even if it's the same and no worse.
You stick with what you know.
Then you're still out of the fourth round pick you've given up or whatever asset you've just given up.
You've given up something.
Yeah.
And did you get better?
I think that's got to be the ultimate question is, does this guy really make the team better to be worth a second rounder or a third rounder? I'm not sure that guy's out there right now.
I'm looking at the TSN does their trade bait, and so I'm looking at the list.
Yeah, give me the defensemen that are on that list.
So Sammy Vatanen.
Let's do it on the other side. Okay. Hold that list.
Yep.
We'll come back. More of Darren Donick and Chase on the other side. ESPN 102.5 The Game. Chase McAvabe scouring TSN trade bait.
I am. I love this thing.
And what have you uncovered?
So this was updated yesterday, but it's pretty up to date. So they have all their players, all positions that they even have draft picks of the rankings of the trade bait coming up to the trade deadline. Chris Kreider is the number one player listed. To give you a point of reference.
Seems like the Bruins and the Avs are heavily rumored at the top of that list. Is that what they have?
Well, they just have the players.
Okay.
Number two on that list is the first defenseman, Sammy Vatanen. Now, I would say the Preds' price is going to be way too high for him.
And I'm trying to remember what his cap hit is and how many years he has left on his contract.
He's a UFA.
He's a UFA. Okay.
Yeah. It's going to be a UFA.
So that's probably a pick and a prospect, probably a high pick, maybe even a first-round pick.
Yep. Number four on their list is another defenseman.
He's 28 years old.
Alec Martinez. So he is number four.
A little older. Seems stay-at-home guy, steady guy.
But it seems like he's on his way to Vegas. That's what everybody keeps saying.
Okay.
That's the heavy, heavy rumor.
You go down the list a ways, you get into some forwards and draft picks. The next defenseman is ninth on their list, a UFA, Erik Gustafsson from Chicago.
Skilled defenseman, offensive-minded, interesting skill set there.
The next defenseman on the list, 19th, 1 year left on the deal, Jonas Brodin from Minnesota.
Intriguing.
What do you think?
He's been around for a long time. He's an upgrade. He would be an upgrade.
26 years old.
See, I don't think they would do it unless they had a good deal. You're going to have to give up something very significant for him. I would think. I don't know that they have to trade him.
Would they take another Predator? I don't know if they would. Do they have room for another Predator on that team?
I mean,
depends on who it is.
The head coach is, former Admirals head coach some of these guys. So the next defenseman on the list, I say, would probably have no chance. 3 years left on the deal, $6 million cap hit, Matt Dumba, also of Minnesota.
Yeah, you hear his name a lot. That'd be part of a big package, too. He's a heck of a player. He's a really good player.
Pending RFA, 24 years old, Anthony DeAngelo from the Rangers. It's another one.
He's a power play guy, DeAngelo. Not the greatest defensive defenseman.
Right.
A little bit like Gustafsson there.
Right next to him, 3 years left on the deal. Willie, you got to help me. From Philadelphia,
Shane Gostisbehere. At one time he was a rookie of the year guy, a prolific offensive defenseman. His confidence has been down. He's not producing as much. He's fallen out of favor there on a team that's still pretty good. That's an interesting one. I don't know if it fits the profile. I'm looking more of the steady Eddie. Like the Alec Martinez type of defenseman, I think, is more of a fit.
mm-hmm.
for this team, a guy that can kill penalties, a guy
what
that
about
can
a Mike Green from Detroit?
Offensive defenseman. Not he's a power play specialist guy.
Rasmus Ristolainen. 2 years left on the deal, though.
See, that would
why does
a
Buffalo
lot.
Want to get rid of him?
I don't know why.
That's what I would want. That's what would scare me. Like, why is he always rumored to be getting out of Buffalo?
Yeah, that's a major investment there to take him, because then you're thinking, I got to sign him for a long term.
Scott Burnside brought this guy up yesterday, Ron Hainsey, 38 years old, UFA.
A little too old. I mean, older than Dan Hamhuis.
I don't know if
he's that much better than Dan Hamhuis, honestly, if any. Like you said, Darren, I'd take the devil you know.
You just always tend to think somebody on the outside's better, but it's not always. It's usually not how it works.
Here's the one. Darren would sign up for this in a heartbeat. A UFA. Michael Delzato.
He's always available.
Negative, Ghost Rider.
He's always available.
Zach Bogosian just got sent down.
Yeah.
Key word is pass.
Hard pass?
Hard. No, I was going back to Delzato.
Hard pass. Hard pass.
Bogosian has a huge cap hit, $5 million.
Yeah.
So that's a big problem.
But this time of year, that doesn't. He's a UFA, so.
You know what's jumping out at me right now?
Just
a Predators player on there.
Well,
not
defensemen.
Among defensemen.
Okay.
I'm skipping over the forwards. They have, if you go back, so 35th on the list is Craig Smith.
Okay, so you're just naming strictly defensemen.
Because I don't think the Predators have room to add a forward unless they're giving up a forward.
Oh, there are a ton of forwards on this list. Yeah. Okay, so for that, 35 is Craig Smith. 38 is Mikael Granlund.
So they're that far down on the list.
Yep.
Right. Pending free agents. It's automatically going to get you on
that list. Kyle Turris is 48th. So those are the three Preds that are listed.
Right. So I would think at the end of the day, all these guys that you're mentioning, not all of them will be dealt.
And two more defensemen on this list. Josh Manson from Anaheim with 2 years left. Jeff Petrie from Montreal with 1 year left.
Well, if you want to get somebody that'll hit people, Manson's your guy.
Petrie has a pretty decent price tag.
Yeah,
right?
$5.5 million.
See, he'd be an upgrade, but you don't want that hit next year. Mm-mm. You don't have room for that on your salary cap next year.
That's a nope.
Oh, Rocco is on this list. I miss Rocco.
Pending free agent.
Rocco is at 44.
Now remember that whole thing with him last year and the arbitration, and they settle on a 1 year deal. Has his stock gone up or down since then? We know the answer.
Way up.
So he's unrestricted. If you could do that over again, knowing what you know now, would you not have tried to find a way to get 2 or 3 years?
Mm-hmm.
It's now going to be a little trickier to get him back, right? It's not like he's going to make $8 million, but he's had a great year, great year.
Jeff from Minnesota weighs in on the text line. Dumba is terrible. Jonas Brodin is the only option there. I was to say he is a top four D-man here.
I think he would be. I think Brodin with his experience. Now, what's his tag, though? What's his price tag? And he got 1 year left, you said? Or he's a free
agent?
He's
got 1 year left, 4.17.
That's a little tight on the budget for next year.
Yeah, but think about it. If you look at next year, you're taking 1.25 off the books with Hamhuis because he's a UFA. Now, I know Yossi's going to take up. Obviously, he's going to swallow a lot of this stuff. So, you're Yannick Weber, Matt Irwin, a little over $1 million coming off there. You mentioned Rocco. Colin Blackwell is a UFA. I mean, yeah, it'd be tough.
It's definitely be tough to do. It would be tough.
You're probably saying goodbye to...
Well, that's the question that I think internally you have to be asking. What's it going to take if you wanted to bring back Granlund and Smith? Would you choose one of them?
I think you have to go one or the other.
But if you do one and not the other, is there room to take a contract like Brodin? I don't know. And then what would it cost to get Brodin? It'd be a pretty high price, I think, to get a guy like that.
Yeah. So it's tough. It goes back to the original question of what would you do? And Darren's saying you'd stand pat because you'd have to give up so much. Now, if you go player for player, I mean, that's the other part of this, that because it's not a, like David Poile told us yesterday, because it's There's not a ton available on this trade market. You know, if he does get the right price for a Mykhail Granlund or a Craig Smith, does he take it?
All right, let me throw this at you just so see if we all agree. Would you, did any of those players have you going, yeah, I would give up somebody like Tolvanen, Afanasyev, Tomasino, Rem Pitlick, you know, among the five or so best prospects you have?
Nope.
I wouldn't either.
Like, here's
I think
the.
You've got to replenish your farm system, and I think you just. You can't part with those guys.
Yeah, like, if you look at
not
the top 10.
Not for a guy you're going to have at best one more year after this or rental this year.
If this team was sitting first in the Western Conference, maybe it's a different discussion sitting
right
here. But I don't think so.
These guys have got to clean it up. These guys have got to do it on their own, right? That's how I would look at it if I'm David Poile.
I mean, if you look at the top 10, not just defensemen on TSN's list, I mean, Kreider really is the only – Kreider or Sami Vatanen are the only ones that I really would love to have, but the price is going to be way too high.
Right.
I mean
–
those two make you perk up for sure.
Pagot from Ottawa is on the list. Martinez.
Pagot. Jean-Gabriel Pagot.
Kovalchuk. I mean, I know he's played well with Montreal, but what are you giving up to get
him?
No
way.
Kyle Palmieri.
Kyle Palmieri would be good, but he's not a defenseman.
Nemestikov from Ottawa.
Nope.
Vlad Nemestikov, pretty good.
That's the one that came from Tampa.
Mike Hoffman, Patrick Marleau, Joe Thornton.
Mike Hoffman is a name to think about. He can score. He will score.
Derek Grant is on the list.
Derek Grant will be traded, I think. He's had a nice year. Fourth liner, penalty killer.
Connor Sherry.
Grinder. Right. You know, these are all forwards. The Predators don't need that. They need the forwards they have to get it done.
There's two things that totally change this conversation that we've already brought up. If something had taken a turn for the worse with Ryan Ellis, a setback or what have you, and they came out and said, uh-oh, it's going to be a while. Not sure, but, you know, when he's coming back, but it's going to be a while. That would change the discussion. The other part is, if they were sitting, you know, atop the Central or sitting atop the Western Conference, maybe one of the best teams in the league, different conversation. But nothing changed. This conversation, nothing changed with me. I think you stand pat. They're either going to get out of this and get in and make a run, or they're not.
I think we agree. I think the most likely scenario is, if there's three scenarios, A would be stand pat, B would be you're making a move for a defenseman, and C would be you would actually sell off, you know, and trade a pending free agent. Let's just take the three or four that are on the list there. Then I think the most likely scenario is
Stan
Pat.
If David Poile got blown away, I mean blown away, and I don't know what blown away is, but if he hung up the phone and went, whoa, I did not think I was going to get an offer like that for, let's say, to
Mykhail Granlund.
Thank you. What do you do? What do you think?
What's blown away?
I don't know. I mean, let's say a first-round pick and a prospect that in your room.
Hell yeah.
Everybody's like, yeah, we would. That's a prospect we know about. Yeah, we like that prospect.
All right, let's say.
First-round pick and a prospect?
Okay, let me. Let's
probably have to do.
How about a second-round pick and a prospect you really like?
All right, let's break on that, and we come back. I will give you the scenario.
Okay.
Hypothetical, and then lay that sort of. We'll go in that direction on the other side.
I feel
side.
Like a first-round pick
somebody
changes
dangles,
the conversation.
Okay.
Somebody dangles that, and we'll talk about what would you do.
Okay, we'll do that on the other side. ESPN 102.5, The Game.
All right, I have a scenario for you guys.
Well done.
I have a scenario. All right, we will take... because you threw his name out there, and a guy that has been playing really well, Mykhail Granlund. Now, I think going back to what we said before, the most likely scenario is you're going to ride with who you got and just let the chips fall here. Let's say the Predators win one, lose one the next two games, Friday, Saturday.
Does it really matter?
Well, that's I'm asking you.
I think it factors in.
Would you feel different?
So these next two games factor into your decision and what we're about to discuss?
If they win two as opposed to they lose two, would it factor into you?
Not really. I mean, I don't think two games.
I'm looking at...
Right now, they're 3 points out with three games in hand. Three games in hand. If they lose two, they could be 5 to 7 points out. Could be. That could be a lot. It could change.
It certainly changes things.
And David Poile said as much yesterday on the show with us. He goes, hey, I got to tell you, I think we're going to still be in it, but, you know, ask me in another day or two. The picture can change more than you think over the next few games. But let's just say you win one, lose one, and you're 3 points out.
Okay.
Even 4 points out. So you're not guaranteed to get in, but it's 50-50. You know your team would have to play well. I come to you in the final hour before the deadline, and I say, I want Granlund. I'll give you a first-rounder, and I'll give you X prospect that your scouts tell you, yeah, you know, not a top prospect, but a good solid prospect. First-round pick and a prospect, which I think is possible because of what other teams have been getting. Right? You saw what Toffoli went for. You saw what Blake Coleman went for. Honestly, how many people knew who Blake Coleman was?
Yeah.
Before the season started.
I agree. I think this is not unrealistic.
He's got 21 goals. He's having a career. I don't think it's unrealistic. Or maybe it's Craig Smith. Maybe the call comes in for Craig Smith. I think it's possible. With those guys' track records, solid forwards, you know what you're getting, top six, you know, could, if lightning hits in a bottle, become a really good pickup. Worst case, you get a guy who's a veteran who's certainly not going to hurt you out there. I don't know who the team would be, but does that give you pause?
Well, I think it's what we said. Bruins.
They're a contender. It's a contender offering this up.
Yeah.
Well, so let's even say it's in the East, okay, and it's somebody so it that's be, not going to directly
your division?
Impact
okay,
you.
Fair. Yeah.
He's not going to come back to haunt you this year if your team makes a run.
Okay.
Would you have to consider that?
Would you have to consider it? I mean, of course. You'd be silly to say no.
Right.
Have to consider it? Of course. That's not even the question. The question is, would you pull the trigger? Even though you know you're giving up something that's been good for you.
That's why I would say if they were to sweep these back-to-backs Friday, Saturday, then I would think your mind might be in a different place than it is if they were to lose both. That's why I say you split. Right.
It's difficult to really say, though, two games one way or the other literally changes your mind. That's a little bit of a stretch in my opinion. But do you have to consider? I mean, of course you have to consider. I mean, if somebody comes to you, and it's not even they're calling you. Remember, let's just say
right, you're not
Dave is just
these
sitting
guys
around. He's not even doing anything, and yet they call him.
What's the example? Philip Forsberg, right?
Yeah.
They called him and said, I want Erat, man. I want him. And you were like, well, you know, we tabled it. You know, he said he wanted to be traded, but I think maybe he'll. And they said, will you get me Forsberg? Oh, well, all right. And
right.
Then all of a sudden they have Philip Forsberg. Okay, let's take it a step further. Let's say that it's not a draft pick, but it's a player like a Kevin Fiala or a Ryan Donato. These are the moves that the Wild made last year. You get an NHL player who hasn't blossomed, but he's a guy you could plug into the lineup and maybe. And he's cheaper and you're going to have him longer. Is that the type of move?
Without a draft pick? Without the draft pick?
Oh, maybe throw in a third or fourth round pick instead of that.
Nah.
Now you're making me think a little harder.
Probably.
It depends on who it is.
I mean, there are people now reporting that the Martinez Vegas deal is done.
It's done.
It's done.
Huh.
Mm-hmm. Nah. I'm going to pass on the second one. The first one, we have to get everybody in the room. Everybody to my office. Everybody to my office. Immediately. Put down whatever you're doing and get to my office. We have to talk. And I would you have to have the conversation. You have to. Now, remember, we are painting the picture of the prospect as something everybody, David's going around the room. What do you think? Yeah. Give thumbs up. Yeah. You? Yeah, definitely. Everybody's going, yeah, on the prospect.
Okay.
And then you throw in a first-round pick? I mean, you...
And then I go to my coaches in Milwaukee, and they say, hey, Tolvanen, he's been doing all the dirty work behind the scenes. He's ready. You can throw him in there. Right. Or you move Craig Smith up, and we'll throw Tolvanen.
We've already seen Trennan. What's wrong? I mean, Trennan was getting it done.
But
you're trying to make the playoff. You may be trying to have your cake and eat it too, where you're saying, I'm not completely giving up on this season. Well, maybe.
Who said it's a give up? I didn't say it was a give up.
Well, you would be trading Graham Lindo Smith.
A guy that you have seen perform for basically the last 20 games.
Like Granlund and Smith and Grimaldi, like the three pending free agents, those guys have arguably been three of their top four or five overall players the last several weeks, right?
Everybody is on the same page. But with all due respect, they've been out of the playoff picture since November.
They've been below the line.
It's the middle of November.
I'll say this, too.
So I didn't say it was give up. I didn't say you're pulling the plug. I'm saying you have to explore that. Because that is what's in the best interest of the franchise. You're talking about a first-round pick and a prospect. When you go around the room, everybody's like, yeah, definitely.
That's why I'm not ruling out a guy like a Kevin Fiala was last year, a guy that they've been patiently waiting on, but it hasn't happened yet, but you can't afford to wait any longer.
Why can't Tolvanen be that guy? I think you bring up a really good point. Because we've heard about Elie Tolvanen for the last 2 years, and he's been in Milwaukee, and he's been hot and cold, hadn't been what everybody thought he would be. But if they get the right move, let's play out your scenario. First round pick and a prospect for Granlund. You talk to the coaches in Milwaukee, and they say, you know what? I think Tolvanen is ready to give it a shot. You have a guy that has been waiting for his opportunity. He had a really good camp. You're in a desperate team trying to make the playoffs. See what you got there. I don't think that's a bad idea.
Look, those guys are not going to sit in Milwaukee forever. I know they're still very young. I mean, Tolvanen's what, 20?
Pitlick is another one.
Tolvanen is 20.
I mean, yeah. I get it. They're still, but they're not going to sit there forever. If you sign everybody, as we've been talking about, to 7 and 8 year deals, at some point you can't just have these guys in Milwaukee for the next 3 or 4 years. At some point they have to have a chance. So I guess. If the answer is yes on all of those, like that was actually in play and everybody said the prospect, yeah, okay, then I think you have to do it. I do, even though you said, of course, you're bringing up somebody who's been productive. I mean, nobody saying that he was shopping, but you have to do it.
I think it's really intriguing. You have to do what's best. I don't think you would have the locker room or the coaches say, yeah, let's do it. Because I think that they believe right now that, hey, we're working at it. We're getting there. We're making progress. Last night stung, but hey, we've still won 7 out of 11. You know, you can do all the things that we're close. We can still do it. Giving up a guy like that would really sting in the locker room, right? Initially, maybe they'd get over it and they'd still be all right. But especially those guys, if Granlund was having an off season or something, which you could say he was for a while, but right now his stock is up. But hard to part with that.
Anybody else privately say anything?
I wouldn't do it.
You would not do it?
I don't think I would do it.
Why?
I said so.
I just think.
Did you say no to?
No, I said I would.
Oh, okay.
You would do it.
Why no?
A pick and a prospect.
A first round pick.
First round, not a pick.
First round
the
pick
entire conversation changes when you take the first round pick off the table.
First round pick
if
and a prospect.
If it's a first, I'm probably not turning that down.
Likely a lower first.
Well, yeah.
First round pick. Yeah, okay. So why no?
I just think. You're trying to win now. Pecorine's 37. You've had this group. I'm trying to keep the window open.
But once again, you're assuming that the two of us are saying nobody said that's. Is that over? You think it's over? You traded away one player. It's over.
I don't think it's over.
I think it's a tough blow to the locker room.
But you also have to go back to the fact that he hasn't performed up until 17 games ago.
Actually, it's been
less than that.
Yeah, I mean,
15, 16.
It's been like a 3 week window. So you think?
And he's cooled off a little bit. So
I didn't say that I'm right. For. I'm saying you have to do as a general manager what's best for the organization, and to me, that's what's best. Even though, yes, you have to give something up to get that.
I don't know that the coaches would. I think you'd have to have a tough conversation with your coaches and your leadership group if you do that. You got to be willing to stomach that. Which,
yeah, but look, you could also have...
But like you said, your job as the general manager is the best thing for the organization. Here's the other pieces of information that I would want to know as much. Is there any chance you could sign Granlund back for next year? So you don't hear anything along those lines. I don't think they've had any groundwork laid for a, you know, here's what it would take to keep him.
I don't think really.
So let's say you knew he was gone at the end of the season. Does that influence?
Think they know that? I mean,
well, I don't know.
There hasn't been really anybody that really feels like that's going to happen. It's not because they wouldn't want to, but because of everything that we already know. Like, you, once again, you can't keep signing everybody for 7 and 8 year deals. And what are you going to do with these guys in Milwaukee?
Yeah, you need younger assets coming in at all times. Sure.
So don't you think that also factors in?
And the other thing is, I want to know as much as I can of what,
like,
what's the,
I'm asking you, does that not
Ellis?
Factor into your decision that you know somebody that you're losing? Like, that doesn't also factor in?
Like, I think David Poile probably has a pretty good idea of who he really wants to go after.
I'm
among
saying
those three guys.
What if I'm telling you, you know it's not going to happen? You're telling me that still has you going, thanks, but no thanks? If you know he's not coming back.
I think it's a heck of a question.
Well, I know. That's why I'm asking it. You're saying it does not change your mind.
I don't see them resigning him. I don't know how.
You went into the season wanting to win the Stanley Cup, not just get back to the playoffs, right? I think you're saying, could I get to the playoffs by trading one guy for a first and a prospect? Yeah, you could probably get there. But your chances of winning the cup go down some.
If you honestly, this is the way I look at it. I know everybody's important. If you think that one person is hinging on the success or failure of the team, then the room isn't as strong as you think.
Yeah.
If you are depending on one person that badly for a team that's been out of the playoff picture since November, then your room isn't what you think it is.
Fair. Fair.
I want to talk to all the men out there. I'm doing it right now. Been telling you for years about my friends over at Cool Springs MD, and they know a lot of you have started to seek help for hormone deficiencies and imbalances. And Dr. Jeffrey Lodge is the board-certified physician, his wife Daphne Lodge, and their experienced staff want to give you men the treatments that are required to improve your quality of life. And their services have already helped a lot of you here in Middle Tennessee and surrounding areas with improving your immune systems, your energy levels, your cognitive function, and so much more. They're there to connect you with the medical care you require to have a healthy and enriched life. There's no better time to achieve that healthy lifestyle than right now. What are you waiting for? Pick up the phone, make the appointment like I have. 615-283-7291. That's 283-7291. You can always go to their website, coolspringsmd.com.
Darren Donick and Chase. Here is what it looks like tonight as far as important games as you piece all this together heading to the trade deadline. The Chicago Blackhawks, who are the next opponent for the Predators, host the Rangers tonight at United Center. Edmonton hosts Boston tonight. Edmonton, of course, has hung in there despite not having Connor McDavid, Zach Cassian. Dallas hosts Arizona. That's an important game, as Arizona has won a couple now to get out of the funk that they were in. Colorado hosts the Islanders. Minnesota at Vancouver tonight. So
that's interesting.
That is a big one. Now, who would you be rooting for there? I guess you got to root for Vancouver, right?
Yeah.
I guess you could still catch Vancouver if you're the Predators. They've got 69 points.
Yeah, you probably go Vancouver there.
You know, number one priority is not to have the game go to overtime. But I think I might make the argument you could say you want Minnesota to win. You'd still be ahead of them, and you'd still be within four of Vancouver. Remember the game that Nashville is playing. Be ahead of Winnipeg, Minnesota, and Chicago at the end of the season. Be ahead of those three. and be ahead of one team in that five-team race in the Pacific, and that would make you a wild card. The other scenario, let's say Winnipeg and Nashville. Let's say Winnipeg's ahead of Nashville. Then Nashville would have to pass two teams
right
in the Pacific Division in that really flat race where right now first place is Edmonton with 70. Fifth place is Arizona with 68. Five teams within 2 points.
Oh, it's unreal.
It's unlikely that somebody's going to separate. This is, again, something you have to weigh if you're David Poile. What are your realistic chances of getting to the playoffs?
And look, Minnesota and Chicago are not out of it by any means.
They're not, but I think
they're
deep
hanging
down,
on.
Deep down, they're hanging on, A, and B, I think they know that they need, with their salary cap issues,
yeah,
both of them have salary cap issues, they need to address it.
Yeah.
And that means shed some payroll, make some moves. They're not going to add anybody. I don't know.
All of these teams that we're talking about, I think you can catch them if you're the Predators, but they got to do more of what they got to do. The three, they really needed to go 5 in a row, 6 in a row. But if you get into a scenario where you're taking, you know, 6 of 8 or something like that, then you're going to feel a lot better about things. But they don't have a lot of wiggle room. Like, they got to rebound. It's like Ryan Johansson said with me last night. You got to throw last night in the trash, and you got to go get 2 points in Chicago. That's what you have to do.
Enormous 2 games coming here. That Nashville,
if they beat Chicago and Columbus, you're feeling different, much different.
You wouldn't even remember mm-hmm. the Carolina game if you can win these two. Winnipeg, or you have 2 games in hand on Winnipeg, 3 games in hand against Arizona, 4 after tonight, 2 games in hand against Calgary, even with Vancouver, 2 games in hand on Vegas, even with Edmonton. So I think the most likely scenario is going to come right down to the last week. I think when you hit April 1st, I think you're going to have, I don't know that you're going to be clinched, and I don't think you're going to be out of it.
No, I think it's coming
it's
to the wire.
I don't see a lot of these teams separating, but we'll find out.
Yeah. I mean, look, it's going to come down to the wire. The Predators, as we said, they don't have a lot of wiggle room. They don't have room for games like last night, and they know that, and I think that's why they were so mad, which is, look, I like that reaction. I'm glad they felt that way, but they can't do it. That's the problem.
You know, sometimes when you play 4 games in 6 nights – and you win the first 3, you're kind of due to have a bad game.
Yeah, I know.
But here's the thing. Like you said, they don't have the luxury. They're going to have this again. They're going to have another stretch where they play 4 games in 6 nights, and they've got to make it work.
If they can pop off 6 or 7 in a row, then they would have some
then they'll have
room.
A little cushion. But they haven't,
but they haven't been able
to
do that at all this year. So they just have to figure that out. And, you know, we talked about the trade deadline. I don't know if one piece really fixes all that or helps all that. You know, but I do think there's something to look into with if you were to trade somebody like Mikael Granlund and then you call up Ellie Tolvanen and you're like, all right, kid, here you go. Here's your shot. Do something with it. Who knows what that does?
Well, you would have to really know. You have to really trust that your Milwaukee guys can tell you. The Scotty Nichols, you know, Scotty Nichols would be the key guy who's watching this.
Yeah.
To say, I think he could jump in there. That would be a bold move.
It would, but that's where you get.
Because Tolvanen is not a guy that you would put on the third line, right?
Right.
On one hand, you could say, well, let's put Craig Smith up. It'd be easy to say, let's slide. He's a top 6 guy. Put him on the second line. And then maybe put a Trennan on the third line.
Sure.
These are all things you could consider if you were to give up one guy and say, you know, we still have enough forwards to make it into the playoffs. But what gives you the best chance to win the Stanley Cup? You're trying to win the Stanley Cup this year. That was your goal coming in. That's what I keep coming back to.
Completely agree.
You know what? We'll talk more about it on tomorrow's show.
Yes, we
Jared
will.
And the GM is coming up next. So make sure you stay tuned for that. Tomorrow we've got a great show planned for you, and we'll talk to you tomorrow at 10 o'clock. Stay tuned. Jaron the GM coming up next here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.